and your money matters. I was asking people, because I saw the IRS data, that we are getting a slight increase, 11% is not nothing, in our refunds right now being issued. It works out to about $200 per person. I do wonder what the median of that number is, or if there's a better way to quantify perhaps people that were getting, had to owe money and maybe getting a refund now. I know a lot of people were hoping on that the SALT tax deduction going up would help them. Anyways, I was reading through and wondering why, despite this thought that we're going to get more of a refund, and it's bearing out somewhat, that people are way behind scheduling this year. The filings as of the first week of IRS data was down considerably from the year before. And we might have an answer, and a lot of people have texted in that they just haven't gotten their documents yet in the mail. And I don't know if it was the severe weather that kind of moved through the area, not only here, but across the entire. Remember that terrible storm? We got a couple inches, but down south they got so much. If that slowed down the mail processing time, because a lot of people are saying, I'm still waiting on my documents. I'm waiting on my insurance form from my employer. One other person say I file every year on April 15th. Oops. Maybe get on that a little earlier. But a lot of people just saying they haven't gotten the documents yet. And I saw Tim Stearns nodding along when I said that as well. Tuesdays with Tim Stearns. Are you seeing that from some of your clients as well, Tim?
Yeah, and when I was on the Home Sweet Home Chicago show with
when you were Stephen cheating Lane. On me with David Hochberg. Okay, keep going.
Sorry, I said hi to you that day, so I think you were well aware of it.
Yeah,
I want you to know there's another man in my life. but no, he had said that he was hearing February 15th. Was when things were going to start to go out for a lot of those companies, and they wouldn't be getting it till about March 1st.
Wow. Okay. So that's probably what it is that, yeah. that's delayed. Because people are looking forward to refunds. I don't know if you're starting to see them come in. Someone said they got $7,100 refund. They didn't tell me what they got last year, though. I'm just like curious if this, a lot of people were promised that this was going to also like churn up the economy. And I don't want to like rub my or like lift my nose at $200 extra on a refund, because that is 11%. That is a significant difference. Sure. But I think some people might be going in with expectations of getting thousands of dollars on their refund that maybe they're not going to be getting.
Right. And I also think that if you're getting a lot of money back from the government, you're withholding too much and you just gave them a loan, and that's probably not the best move.
Yeah, like me, who I forgot to tell any of my employers that I had a kid, and now I should have been giving less, so I gave the government a loan. Yeah, that's no good.
No, that is not any good.
I'll fix that for this year. Okay, yeah, I really appreciate what you want to talk about today, because you're kind of tackling an area where there's some misunderstandings about how a relationship with an advisor works. I think a lot of it's kind of like going to a doctor, in that you trust kind of inherently that this person knows what they're doing. They have the sign, they have the certificate on the wall who they are. And really, you've got to find someone that you can trust with everything and who is not just treating you with like a one-size-fits-all approach. Do you think that's like one of the biggest red signs from an advisor, if they have a plan for you before you even told them anything about what your plan is?
Well, I'm seeing that a lot with a lot of the big box shops, that, you know, they think it's all about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's so much more out there now. And, you know, the consumer wants more. They want tax advice. They want Social Security advice. They want to know how to leave money to their heirs without being taxed too much. And the impetus for this topic today was that a competitor took one of my clients. And I went and saw the client, and he had set up his beneficiaries absolutely wrong. He had left the IRAs to his trust, which would jump up the taxable amount by at least 20% instead of leaving it to individuals as you should.
Yeah. In fact, I've talked to estate planning attorneys who often say, just trust the beneficiaries, keep up on it so you make sure that it's to the right person, because that's the worry. But not to put it to the trust. Okay, that's a red flag. Why does that bump up 20% in taxes?
Because most trusts come out of the box at 40% versus an individual could be as low as 10 or 12% in their tax brackets.
Okay, so that's important. So that's a red flag. Any other red flags for someone that's thinking about switching out?
Well, yeah, in this one, the guy took my strategies and just moved them over to to the company that he used.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't really do any work, and he was using my strategies. Of course, he didn't have stop losses on them and that type of thing. And needless to say, that money is on its way back, and we are happy about that, and we won't be wandering off the reservation anymore. I talked to the client, and he won't be wandering anymore.
Okay. Well, I think that's important, right? If they just are using exactly what you use, but then took away some of the protections that they valued, and maybe did the client even realize what they had taken away with the stop losses?
No, not at all.
And that's a problem.
He didn't realize that it was the same. When I showed him my statement and his holdings online that this person had put him in, they're exactly the same. So the difference was, you know, he took my homework and took the test, and that kind of makes me sick.
Okay, well, we got to take a break here. We'll do more of this with Tim Stearns. 800-640-2256 is how you reach out to Tim, which we'll make sure we give that number a couple more times. We're talking Tuesdays with Tim. Tuesday, like a scorned ex-lover, had a client leave him for someone else, but he got him back in the Tim Stearns camp after chatting with him a little bit more to see what the new guy did. Of course, we're not going to mention those people's names here. But, Tim, I love what you do. One of the notes that you have here that I've heard before but I just don't understand is advisors who push, quote-unquote, in-house products. What are you talking about here?
That's really easy. Basically, we had a client that we got from one of my classes. And he came in and he was at a bank. Jamie Dimon's the president of it. Anyway,
well, you're starting to sound like Hochberg giving clues to the companies you're talking about. A couple appearances Chase on his show, you're already starting like Hochberg. Okay, keep going.
It rhymes with Chase. Anyway, when I looked at all of his holdings, they were all Chase funds. So you're going to tell me, or J.P. Morgan. They're all J.P. Morgan mutual funds. And so you're going to tell me J.P. Morgan in every single facet of any investment is the top performer. And I say, no way. And so we went and looked at it, and sure as heck, they weren't the best. So we made sure that the client knew of that. And he said, man, if I move my money out, I won't be a private client. And I go, what do you get for that? He goes, well, I get to wire money for free. And I go, how many wires do you send a year? He goes, I've never sent one.
Exactly. And you can do that most places just for very cheap. It's not worth it. And I just want to point out, it doesn't mean you can't have like a JP Morgan mutual fund that you own. It's just, it shouldn't all be that. There should be some diversification. And if the name of the fund is the name of the company you're working with, that should be a red flag.
I agree. And it's all in-house there. I just have a real problem with that. And there's a lot of things that they are rule breaking there. I don't think they're looking out as fiduciaries for the client like we have to.
Yeah. What about like selling certain things? I mean, you and I could talk about annuities for a long time. I know that is part of some of your strategies, not all of them. That's just one piece of the puzzle you do. I know listeners know that there's certain people that we love on the station who are not a big fan of some of the old annuities and some of the bad ones, while acknowledging that some can be good. But maybe some red flags for people, like if they're selling like an insurance thing that doesn't sound right to you, what are some other things that someone might try and sell you that people should go, let me think about that a bit more?
Well, I had done a protect and grow plan for the gentleman who had moved his money. And the first thing they asked him was, do you have an annuity? Which I had put him in an annuity for income. And they wanted to try to basically churn that into another annuity. And that should be a red flag right off the bat, because I had a plan for him. And you know, he was promised unicorns and rainbows, which is what a lot of these companies do, without telling them any of the devils in the fine print there.
Yeah. So he was just trying to churn it into something for him to get the sale on that, to get the commission on that, essentially.
Exactly. And not looking out for his best interests whatsoever.
Are you pretty, I imagine the answer is yes, but upfront, if someone says, I know you want me to maybe this annuity could be good for me, you're pretty upfront with how much you're making on that and how that works, right?
Absolutely. You have to disclose that. So, I mean, we do that. I mean, we should, when they're signing the paperwork, they see all that.
What if it's an advisor you're working with and they're like, how long should someone have to wait before getting a call back? Like, if I'm calling my advisor because I'm worried about something, I mean, how long does it take you to call someone back? What would be a red flag for not enough communication? I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, Tim, but Walk me through it.
No, but the one thing I pride myself on is my mom always says I think that's what makes us better than most. But one thing I do pride ourselves on is we always hear this. Oh, it was the weekend. I just was thinking about it, and I asked you. You didn't need to get back to me on your Saturday or your Sunday, but we appreciate it. Thank you.
So you're getting back to people on the weekend too?
Yeah, within I'd say within 10 to 12 hours, John or myself or Jake, we're getting right back to them.
Do you anticipate people who might be concerned about market moves or big news that they might be worried and kind of get in front of it a little bit?
Absolutely. And we have those clients that I know I need to get ahead of. they start worrying a little bit, and we make sure that, you know, we're always pumping out the newsletter that I'll put out, and I make sure it's appropriate to what's going on in the market. But more importantly, there are certain clients that need a little more hand holding, and we make sure of it. And most of them, after they've been with us for a while, they calm down. They realize that, you know, our checks and balances are in place, that we're not going to let them get killed in a down market.
Yeah. The word guarantee, if I hear my advisor say that a bunch to me, is that a red flag?
Yes. Yes. Per the FINRA, which is the organization that rules the world around us in financial instruments, you're not allowed to say that. So if someone is saying that, as far as when it comes to financial instruments, insurance products, there can be lifetime guaranteed income. That is a true thing.
Yeah. One last question, this from the 847. What is an acceptable service fee for a fund manager? Is it a percentage? Is it a hard number? What is fair? Like, what would make you go, whoa, that's a lot?
Well, we charge 1% for our services, but then a lot of these people are putting them into mutual funds who have their own set of fees and that type of thing. So anything over, you know, I'd say 1.8%. to 2% is a little too much, unless you're getting a real bang for your buck. If you're getting, you know, where they put in stop losses and they're doing a lot of trading to keep you out of harm's way, then I'm okay with that. But if they're just buying and holding like we see all the time, we're not good with that.
I see. So it should be based on performance, right? If they're actively managing your account and you can tell that they're doing things like that, okay, maybe so, but you're right around that 1% range.
That is correct.
And I think that is pretty comparable amongst a lot of folks. But what's not comparable is Tim Stearns' personality, family guy, and honestly, the no minimum thing. That means a lot, I think, to me, Tim, personally, just because I like telling our listeners who often hear from people, you don't have enough money for me, you don't have enough money to come work with me. I'm glad that I've found someone that doesn't say that to our listeners, and I appreciate that. What's the number, Tim, for people to reach you?
The best phone number to reach us is 1-800-640-2256. That's 1-800-640-2256.
Tuesdays with Tim. I love it. We'll talk again soon, my friend.
Thanks, Jonathan.
See you. Absolutely. Did I get a full Jonathan there? Look at that. Who are you, my mother? Wow, that's Tim Stearns.